Always good to get together, we say. But we're glad to appreciate your attendance very, very much. You haven't been with us for a while. I've been doing a series of lessons on Sunday morning on that single topic of influence. And in this series of lessons on influence, I'm on lesson number 9. So you're getting the conclusion today. Now some of you are thinking, all right, I came the right day. I get the conclusion. But in the lesson number 1, I just mentioned influence. It may be good or not so good. The second lesson was that your influence continues even after you die. Number 3, I encouraged you to fortify one another with your influence. Then number 4, the lesson was you have influence even while in the assembly or in the pew. Number 5, we had influence in the workplace as an employee. Number 6, our influence is like leaven. Use that verse, a little leaven leavens. So our influence will influence. We can't escape it. Number 7, the lesson was our influence in the neighborhood, in our community. Then last week, just started the lesson, and today's the conclusion, influence in the house. In last week's lesson, we noted in the house the 4 areas. In the house, as if you're a husband or a wife. 2, our influence as parents. And in today's lesson, our influence when we're children in the house. And then number 4, we'll close with this one. Many of us have experienced old folks in the house. In last week's lesson on husband and wife, you show and distribute or demonstrate influence in your love for one another as a husband and wife. Family member C. Encourage you to practice the golden rule. As a husband and wife, you do to each other what you want the other to do to you. Influence in being happy with each other. Rejoice with the wife of your youth, the Bible said. We talked about or gave the illustration, we need to treasure one another. Be cautious when you're quarreling. Don't let the neighbors hear. Then mentioned about parents influencing. Gave you the phrase, the greatest influential factor in the life of a child is home life. Influence as parents. Mentioned to teach the children godly things. Present the priority of a godly home. Suggested in your influence as parents, attend Bible class or worship assembly with them. Be an example or lead the way. As parents, watch your speech. Your children copy that. Impress upon them that there's a place in the kingdom for them to work. Help them in selecting right associates as a parent. And realize parents' responsibility that your children are God-given. In Psalm 127, verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Children. Parents' influence on the children. So number 3, and this is to continue that lesson, the 4th or the 3rd influential area relationship in the home are the children. They have influence. Sometimes children don't realize that there's a God-given obligation God, through the pages of His Word, speaks directly to children three times. Three times. Children sometimes think of themselves, well, I'm too young. I don't have any obligation to God. I don't have any accountability or no responsibility. But there's three times God addresses children. Number one, in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Oh, children, don't forget God. I put in your notes reasons why children should note these three obligations. I think to myself, anytime there's a requirement given to someone else, we need to give a rationale for that obligation or that requirement. I know when we were raising our three boys, anytime you ask them to do something, the first reply back is, why? Even our two granddaughters, Monroe just going to be turning 5 next month, but anytime I say something, why? Why? And doesn't it have to be a requirement? I can just see, oh, look at those are pretty yellow flowers. Then why are they yellow? Why? So when God says, remember the Creator in the days of your youth, a young person may say, why? Well, here's an answer we can give. Number one right now is you have the greatest ability for learning. Young people have the greatest ability for developing talents. And that learning and talents can be used to God's glory. I gave you an example, Lads to Leaders program, where young people are taught how to become leaders for the future. I think about, you know, with our granddaughters, especially since we take care of them. Here are, Monroe is going to be 5 years old, and I look at her and I think, in 5 years, look at how much you've learned. 5 years ago, I could hold her from here to here. And now she runs and jumps and plays and asks why. Look at how much she's learned in 5 years. And I look back and think, what have I learned in the last 5 years? Children have the greatest ability to learn, to develop talents in youth. Also, I think as a reason why, because Christian youth in God's service give us older brethren hope for the future of the congregation. Sometimes we think, what's going to happen in this congregation 5 years from now? Or 10? And I look at the youth. The youth. Also, young people should remember the Creator in the days of their youth so they don't have any regrets later. I don't want them to grow up in 10 years from now and say, oh, why didn't I memorize more verses when I was young? Why didn't I develop that talent to be maybe a song leader or a Bible class teacher? Why didn't I? Oh, yeah. Youth. I put the phrase in your notes, the danger of delay. There's two dangers when you delay an action. You either lose your desire or you lose your opportunity. You think about an event in your life that was coming up and going to take place on a certain date. And you say with the others, oh, I'm going to go to that event. I'm going to be there. I want to go. I have the opportunity. I have the desire. But it gets close to the date and you say, no, I'm not going to go. Or the date arrives and no, I don't think I'll go. So now the event is passed. And you see you're with the others who attended that event. And they, oh, you missed a great occasion. You say, oh, I wish I would like to go. Well, too late now. I just lost the opportunity. Sometimes you lose your desire. A young person today may have the desire to obey the gospel, to be baptized. The invitation song is sung, and they said, no, I think I'll wait. Next Lord's Day comes along, and the sermon is preached, the invitation is extended. No, I don't want to. I don't want to be baptized. Lost the desire. You have the opportunity. The danger of delay in many situations in life, even spiritually, the danger of delay is that you may lose your desire or you may lose your opportunity. If you have the desire today, you have the opportunity to develop talents, to train yourself, to obey the gospel, to remember your Creator while you're young. God-given obligation. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. The second requirement or obligation that God gives is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, direct charge. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Colossians 3, verse 20, similar phrase. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Two reasons for being a good influence for children come from the text. First one just says it's right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So that you say, child, I need you to do this. Why? Because it's right. It's just right. Oh, I want you to, as a youngster, and even with our boys, I want you to obey without thinking about getting something back. I want you to learn in life that not everything you do will have an immediate reward. I want you to learn to obey laws of the land or parents or teachers or coaches because it's just the right thing to do. Children, obey. It's just right. Second one is it's well-pleasing to the Lord. You get a well done from the Lord, not just mom and dad. And that's, oh, I like that. I like that. It's well-pleasing to the Lord. It's right. Yeah. Also, wisdom and experience of the parent is gained. As a parent, we say to our children, we've been where you now stand. We've experienced some things already that you're just starting to go through. And so I want you to know, son or daughter, there's some things in life that I don't want you to experience firsthand. So child, the obligation to obey your parents in the Lord and because it's right. Because I don't want you to experience the bad things. Also, I put in your notes, the habit of obedience is good discipline for the future. Tried to instill in our boys when they were growing up, you will never reach an age when you do not have to submit or obey something or someone. When I was teaching school teacher, San Diego Unified, they taught that elementary school. Ask the children, you know, how old do you have to be before you don't think you'll have to ever obey anybody or anything? Oh, and the hands go up. 16. When I get to be 16, I won't have to obey anybody. Another child, no, you got to be 18. No, you got to have to be 21. No. Don, how old are you? If you can tell.
Little over 80.
Do you still have to obey? Submit to certain things?
Oh, yeah.
You will never reach an age where you don't have to submit. You need to learn that while you're young. You're going to submit to the law of the land. You're going to submit to gravity. You're going to submit to other people's rights. Have to submit to those in authority. In judgment day, you'll submit to God. You will never reach an age where you don't submit. Might as well learn it now while you're in your youth. That's the rationale. And he said, why? Why? The third reason, or the third obligation that God has for children, Ephesians 6, verse 2. Honor your father and mother. It's in the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother. Malachi 1, verse 6. That the son should honor his father. Then it gives the reasons from the text. In Ephesians 6, verse 2, it's the first commandment with promise. In other words, it's the commandment. So there's a law in this. Children, God says, child, I want you. God says, I want you to, number one, remember me. Obey your parents and honor your parents. That's the law, heavenly law. And it comes with a promise that it may be well with you. I know things always went better with me at home when I obeyed mom and dad. When I disobeyed, things didn't go so well. Why should children honor mom and dad? That it may be well with you. Parents want children to avoid danger. Parents say, careful. Parents say, don't do that. Watch out. Careful, that's dangerous. Still do that with our five-year-old, especially when we're crossing a street. What do parents do? Yeah. Honor. In verse 3 it says, and you may live long on the earth. In Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land. They're putting your notes, your parents will never ask you to stay away from, or parents are going to ask you to stay away from things that shorten your life. So we give them warnings about drug abuse or alcohol abuse or breaking the law. We give them, counsel them, admonish them, exhort, warn. Stay away from those things. They shorten your life. And parents, just like what the Bible says, we've never asked you to leave anything that's good for you. But only those things that will harm you, either physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. Some people say, oh, the Bible's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. But even God has never asked you, has never asked me, or ever asked our youth to leave anything except those things that will harm them physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. Those are the don'ts. Obey and honor. These things that God requires of children, it's impossible for the child to repay us for everything we've given to them for all those years. There's child labor laws. They can't repay us for all of that. So children, what can you give back to your parents? I can obey you and honor you and remember God. And as a parent, as that child is growing up, for the sleepless nights, no charge. The clothing through the years, no charge. No charge. Only thing I'm requiring of you as a parent is to obey and honor. Isn't it interesting? It never says for the child to love the parents. Just an observation. But children can give to parents obedience and honor. No charge. No charge. The last influence we have in the house, I just put older folks, is briefly, most of us in recent years have lived with older people at home, or perhaps we're having to care for an older person at home, or perhaps we are that older person at home. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, Paul said to Titus, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober. Here's the influence. Your influence is older people. Be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. The older women, likewise. In other words, yeah, I've said this about the men, yeah, for the women. Be reverent in behavior and teachers of good. Could mention Elaine Woody as an illustration of this, couldn't we? Many things that are going to be said at her funeral on Tuesday are going to reflect this very thing. Her influence as an older person in the house affected me in so many ways. Yeah. Christine and I were blessed with her when her parents moved in with us. Lived with us approximately 10 plus years. And they exemplified this text. They had an influence on us, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Our oldest son gave his be great grandfather, wouldn't it? No, our oldest son, that's Daryl's grandson. So when our son had a son, named him Daryl, great grandfather. You see, when Christine's parents lived with us, they had an influence on our boys. So much so that when Jared had the child and Alma Beth, let's name him Daryl. Influence? Yeah. Influence in the home. As husband and wife, as parents, as children, and as older people. There'll be influence in the home. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of exhortation, song of invitation. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, you've never been baptized for remission of sins, you have that opportunity. When Jesus, just before he left this earth, he gave a great commission to the apostles. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning verse 18, he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he says, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, devout Jews from every nation were there. In Acts 2, verses 20 through 22, he convinced them that they crucified the Christ. They murdered the Messiah. You've by wicked hands have taken and slain the Son of God, he said. In verse 36, he said, this Jesus whom you crucified, God's made both Lord and Christ. He said, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Oh, what do we do? We've killed the Christ, murdered the Messiah. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is a promise, and to your children, to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized, in verse 41. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Verse 41. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. We provide that opportunity for you this morning at the close of the lesson. We're going to sing a song of invitation, song of encouragement. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve to be baptized for remission of sins this morning, we can accomplish that. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve to respond in a public way this morning, please do so as we're singing this song.